Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I get excited on Sunday. I got three sermons today, so we're going to be here for a while. So stick and maybe have some more water. No, I'm just kidding. Let's stand up and pray together this morning, y'all. Praying to our Father in heaven. Whose Father?
Our
Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. You know, God's word heals. Amen. The Bible heals. If I just want you to understand that there's healing in this book because there's peace in that book. When you read it, Sergio, and you find a scripture that touches your heart, it heals you. It makes you get confidence in God. It takes the pressure off of you. It takes the stress off. Amen. Well, how many know we're going through things, each and every one of us? And we're all going. But it's when we go through it with God that makes us stronger. Amen. And when we get from one end to the other, we realize that God actually did carry us through. And that just draws us closer to our Savior in heaven. That's who we love. We love Jesus in this house. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Let's do the response of reading Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. I call on the Lord in distress. Hallelujah. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. Hallelujah. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Who's that? Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. That's our Jesus. Amen. Who's Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just talk about God for a minute. There was a song many years ago, you might remember, by the Bee Gees that I loved. As in a part of the words, where it's only words and words are all I have to make your... Remember that? It's only words and words are all I have to take your heart away. How many know that words have a lasting effect on people? Amen? How many know that? Not only on the ones who hear the words, but even more on the ones who speak those words. Amen? How many realize that? The power of words. That's why we always need to pray for those who speak unkind and hurtful words to us. Amen? Because long after, this is important, long after we have forgiven them, these words will stay in their hearts and minds, and they will be alone with those thoughts. Amen? They alone will have to deal with the sadness they have caused to those they love. Amen? So many times, we just speak words out. We throw words out like they're meaningless. Amen? But when we're speaking them, we might forget even... How many have forgotten something that you said? Amen? Anybody have said, I don't remember that I said that. Exactly. See, but other people, when you say something hurtful, when you say something unkind to somebody, especially the people you love, they don't forget it. Amen? That always stays with them. But that person you're speaking to may forgive you. Amen? They're going to forgive you. But it's yourself that you have to deal with. And when you're alone with those things, I can't believe I said that to my mother. I can't believe I said that to my father. I can't believe I said that to my best friend. And then you have to deal. And it always comes back when you see that person, especially when they love you and they're kind to you. You always carry that. The power of words, the power of our tongue. Amen? We sing these beautiful love songs about Jesus. We sing love songs to the people we fall in love with. We write these beautiful songs about all the beautiful things that God has created, about your wife, about your husband, about your all these beautiful songs, and they sound, and then we use that same voice and those same words to destroy. Amen? It can't be so. But it's not even that it can't be so. I'm just asking you to think again of the pain that it's going to cost the person who said it. Amen? That's why we have, when we forgive, amen, when we do what? That's a powerful word. We could talk on that word every Sunday and never tire of that, Gary, because forgiveness is where the healing begins. Amen? But when we forgive and we walk away from it, that person is still left knowing that they said something like that to somebody that they love. And they're alone with that because no words that you can say to them, I forgive you, I love you, will not change. That's why we got to be careful with the words that we use to one another. Can I get an amen? You see, that's God. See, we have to understand that God is teaching us that. When we say good things to somebody, it lifts them up. Amen? When we say something kind to somebody, it lifts them up. When we say something encouraging, it lifts them up. Folks have been telling me the last couple of weeks that they've enjoyed the sermon. Amen? Folks have come up and said, I really like what you preached on last week. Sergio, I can't tell you how much that means to me inside my heart. I carry that with me. I don't want a big head. I don't want to think that I'm doing something right. But I want to know that what I'm preaching on is touching people. So when somebody says, that sermon you gave last week really was touched me, it makes me inside feel better than I could ever. I couldn't write the words to tell you, because that's how important words are. Amen? Those simple words that said, I heard you last week and it changed my life are so powerful to me. Amen? So meaningful. That's why I'm looking around and we're seeing people aren't here, maybe a little smart, and I'm realizing that we're talking to God. Amen? You're talking to me and we're talking to God. So God is hearing our words. Amen? God is seeing what we're doing and seeing our action. That's why I told Gary, I'm 25 people at Bible study. That's nothing for God. Amen? But we got to believe it. Amen? We got to say it. We got to tell people about it. We got to give them the good news. We got to give them a reason to come to Second Congregational, to come and hear the Word of God. Amen? To be stronger, to know more than you think you know. Amen? That's the hardest part. People think they know the Bible and they know all this already, but they don't live it all the time. They think, well, I'm hearing the pastor. Yeah, I understand that. But they're not living it. They're saying it, but they're not living it. We need to live it. Amen? We need to live this book. We need to really stand out and be leaders. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we do it with our words. Amen? You see people on the green, come on in. You see people at the grocery store, you really need help. You need God. Come to our church. Believe in this church as much as I do. Believe in the God as much as I do. Believe, and this is a good one, ready? Believe in yourselves as much as I do, because each and every one of you are leaders. Can I get an amen to that? Right? You're leader. You're leaders. Not just me, but you're leaders. And you're going to lead somebody to the healing that they need in their life. Because how many know everybody we know is going through something? Amen? Hallelujah. Some people that don't know God say, how can God do what he's doing in Florida? Oh, your God's so great. Look what he's doing in Florida. But people that know God, you know what they're doing? They're on their knees asking God to be with them. And that comfort. They're getting on their knees and say, Lord, protect my family in Florida. And that comfort comes over them. That peace that surpasses understanding. See, people that don't know God blame God. People who know God call on God. Amen? That's the difference. We need to call on him and believe. Amen? Whatever you're doing in your job, believe God is behind you. Do it unto God. Whatever you're doing at home, do it unto God. Amen? Use those words of power that God has blessed you with. Use that spirit of joy that God has given you with, and you shall succeed. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Can we pray a little bit together? Lord, we thank you that you've given us the power to heal and the power to lift up and the power to encourage. Lord, we have to be extra careful when we use words, because words can also destroy spirits, destroy hearts. We can cause more pain with one sentence than we could with any physical blow we could ever give, because they last forever. People don't forget what you say. It stays with them when we say something hurtful. No matter how much there's love, no matter how much love abounds, there's that pain. So even in the times that you feel the most upset, those are the times when you have to hold that tongue, bridle that tongue, because you don't want that lasting effect, that last thing that you said to be the most important when you know it's not true. We need to let that anger go and let that pain go and let all that go and trust God. Trust God. Trust God will fix the situation. I do it all the time. I pray to God all the time for people that I love and people I haven't seen. I say, Lord, I'm not there. I can't see. I don't know. They won't work with me, so I need you to work with me. And I trust God. You touch them, Lord. I pray. And when I speak to people, I don't try to say, why haven't you this and how come you didn't? No, it's That doesn't help anything, doesn't lift anybody up. I reach out with compassion and with joy and lift up, encourage, because that's what draws people to you. And that's what draws people to our God, our Jesus. That's what draws them. That compassion and that kindness. And our families, hallelujah, I know families are the most frustrating. I know it. I know it. I live it. We all live it. You want to shake them. You want to do all kinds of things. And you know, we've tried it that way for so many years, and we've come to realize that doesn't work. It's only with compassion and forgiveness and love and kindness. Those words will draw them to you. When they see it, when they see it all over you, when they hear it and they see it in your relationships and they see your growth and see your joy. You see, because those people that you love the most, they know you the most. So when they see something that's different, they're going to see it first. So when they see that joy, they won't understand. When they see those things that you're doing that they don't understand, you just say, my God gave that to me. And he can give it to you too, free of charge, no cost. Just love him. Just search for him. Seek for him. Love him. And not worry about problems, because God is the problem solver. Hallelujah. I get so excited talking about God for you. For you as much as for me. Every day I pray, Lord, what am I going to preach on Sunday? Lord, what can I say to people to touch them, change their life? That's my prayer each week for you, because I love you and you love me so much. We love each other, and that is what draws us and keeps us together. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stand on this word. I'm going to believe for 25 people at a Bible study, because God is in this book and God is in this house and God is in my heart, and I'm going to believe God. I'd rather believe God than anybody else. I'd rather be wrong and God right. So I'm going to believe. I believe for this church. I know what we're doing is for God. And I know this church. I see the body. And I know those people who aren't here today want to be here today. And other people who are not feeling well. Some are in the hospital. Some are having problems. I know they want to be here. And they're going to be here. And I know that when they come here, they get fed. I know people that we've lost, if they had stayed in church, they would have been healed today. They would be here today. I know God is like that. I know my God like that. Hallelujah. So I'm praying today that we become leaders, and remember the words that we use and how we choose to use them. We'll be lifting up each other, bringing people together, not separating, lifting up, uniting, and giving people hope and peace and God. Hallelujah. Just give them Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says something very interesting. He says, behold, say that with me.
Behold.
I stand at the door and knock. Imagine that. First of all, can you imagine Jesus standing at your door and not coming in? What does he do? He knocks. And then he says this wonderful thing. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Hallelujah. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. Isn't that interesting? Is he calling a church? Is he talking to a denomination? Because some denominations say they got God, they got it all worked out, and if you go there, you're going to find God. And then I got this thing in Revelation where God says, behold, if I knock at your door, if you open up. So who is he talking to? He's talking to us, amen? He's not talking about a religion, amen? He's not talking about a church, amen? He's not talking about anybody who claims that they know, because God is saying, let me read that again, because I love that. I think it's a wonderful. He said, God, Jesus, who's saying this? Jesus, he said, I stand at the door and knock. Imagine that. He's knocking at your door. If anyone, who's anyone? Anybody here, anyone? Hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Hallelujah. What a promise. Amen? That's right, Jim. Thank you. Now we're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And by the way, next week I'm going to make the Old Testament come alive. I'm going to put you in Exodus. Amen. People think that there's not a lot in the Old Testament that has anything to do with you. I'm going to put you, Walter, in the Old Testament next week. I'm going to put you right in Exodus. Amen. So this is one of my favorite scriptures, Deacon Gary. This is one of my favorite scriptures. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And listen to what he said. This is God the Father. Ready? If my people, who? Church? Denomination? What? Anybody? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. A church? A denomination? A religion? Who's he talking to? You and me. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Sergio, just read that every day and just kind of say that. Hallelujah. And what do you got to do? It's not hard. First, you got to humble yourself. Amen. That doesn't mean you have to be weak. How many realize that? Humble is, in fact, it's harder to be humble. Amen. That song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." That's sort of great, but it's harder to be humble because you're sacrificing what you think you want. You have to pull back. Amen. You have to accept that you have faults. Amen. You have to look in that mirror quickly and you humble yourself. And then he says you have to do the second thing. You have to pray. Amen. Do you pray? Do you pray enough? I'm telling you, every time I get in my car, I pray. I talk to God everywhere. I just talk with him. I mean, some people think I'm nuts. Even my wife will say to me, "What'd you say?" And I'll just kind of smile and say, "Oh, nothing. I was just talking to God." I love being alone with God. Amen. I miss those times when I was in the woods because I spent a lot of time with God in the woods. Right, Deacon Chuck? And I miss that because he would be talking to me. I would feel it in my... All of a sudden, things would come in my heart and my mind because I was praying. Amen. Praying isn't getting on your knees and asking God. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God. Praying is conversation with God. Amen. And he's telling us right there, we got to humble ourselves to know that we need God. How many here need God? Do you really? If you really believe that, you're on the right path. Amen. And then he says you need to pray. Simply means you need to converse with God. And the third thing to do is you need to seek his face. Amen. You need to seek him. And sometimes it comes in reading this book. Amen. This book, this Bible. You're seeking God when you open up these pages. And I hear, I don't know where to go. That's crazy. There's a whole book here. Open it up. Amen. Open it up and find yourself a page. And it, Wigglesworth used to say, if you open up the Bible and you find a page that means nothing to you, turn the page. There's plenty of them in there. Amen. Go to the book of John and read what John said, because John walked with Jesus. Open up the book to Matthew. Open up the book to Proverbs. They're simple, amen, Sergio. They're easy to understand, amen. But seek him. When you open up God's book, guess who he can talk to? You. If I open up his book, he's talking to me. That's great for me, but that ain't helping you, amen, until you open. So he's asking us to humble ourselves, to pray and seek his... Let me read that again. This is one of my favorite ones, Gary. I love it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins. Hallelujah. He will forgive our sins and heal their land. Do we need anybody else to go to forgive our sins? Do we need to talk to somebody else and say, "Hey, you need to forgive me"? I'm just telling you what the word says. Amen. God said, "I will forgive your sins." Who? God? Me. Thank you. And then he's going to heal our land. And that doesn't mean your backyard, all right? That means the land. It just doesn't mean he's going to heal your back and your trees are going to be better. It's going to heal the life that you're living in. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Deacon Gary is doing the book of Acts for the 25 people that I'm praying are going to be at the Bible study, because he's doing a great... Everybody tells me, Gary, and I'm going to give you some, the same thing I'm saying. Everybody tells me how much they love that Bible study. Your work is not in vain. You're really touching people, and they're loving what you're doing, and they're being touched. Amen? And he's doing the book of Acts right now. And in the Bible, the book of Acts is simply that, Pat. The Acts of the Apostles. Sort of telling you a story from how it all began with Peter and Paul. And that's really the story it is. But when you understand that, you understand the Bible. But Gary, and I always say that your Bible study is... But I'm praying this book of Romans. To me, the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to Romans, is so full of gold that it's just every page is so full. full. You can go one page in the book of Romans and all of a sudden have more strength. And I'm telling you, if you want to read and listen to God, read the book of Romans. It's pretty simple. Amen? But I'm just saying that now, and it has this one sentence. How many?
One
sentence. 2:11. Let me read it to you. Hallelujah. For there is no partiality with God. There you go. Right? There is no partiality. Amen. So somebody says, I belong to this denomination. Amen. What does that mean to God? Nothing. Well, a guy says, whoa, I'm special. What is that? Now, I wrote this down. There's no, not a none. Amen. None. No partiality. Say that with me. No partiality with God. Amen. I read it right there. For there is no partiality with God. Yep. You can't argue with me now. People can say, Pastor, I don't think you're right. I say, okay, open up the Bible. Romans 2:11. There it is. One sentence. Amen. So what if you're the richest man in the state? What does that have to do with God? Nothing. What if you're the poorest man? I know, you know, we say poor, amen, but when you're poor, sometimes it's, you know, it's not a bad thing, amen? So it's not going to have favor, amen? What if you're the smartest man in the United States? And what does that mean to God? How about if you have a title, if you're a senator or something? Suppose you have this title, you're a mayor or something, and you go to God, well, I'm a senator. What is God going to say about that? Nothing, amen? I wrote this one down too because this is crazy. What if you're one of the greatest entertainers of all time? You got 25 hit records and you're making 500 million bazillion dollars a year, amen? And you, what does that do to God? He got any partiality over you? No, amen? Because there is no partiality. With who? God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This, Romans 8:1. This is for you now. I wish that I could get you fired up with this one because this is your promise. For there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's no little thing, brothers. And if you're wondering, and if you're wondering about how, what God, the way God sees you, not the way you see yourself or you see your friends, but the way God sees you. Let me read that again. 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How much? None. Amen. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's a lot of people who want to be made free. That's all you have to do is love God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Hallelujah. You guys should be standing up cheering right now. You guys should be so excited because the Bible's talking about you. Romans 2:14, 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. We are children of God. Say that with me. Children of God. I'm not telling you that. The Bible's telling you that. Amen. You don't need a religion. You don't need somebody else to go to. Because you are children of whom? And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, then we may also be glorified together. Can I get an amen? We are heirs. Amen. So He is our Father in heaven and we are children of God. Amen. So we have promises from our Father. Amen. Now, are you willing to fight for those promises? Are you willing to go to God sometime to say, look, I'm going to fight. I'm going to claim these promises because you promised them to me. Are you that strong to say to God, I will not leave until you bless me. Amen. Until, like Jacob said, I will not leave until you bless me. I will not let go until you bless me. Could you do that today? Can you be a leader like that today out in the world. I'm not going to let anything deter me. I'm going to go and tell somebody about Jesus. I'm not going to stop because God is inside of me, and I'm a son of God. I am a son, amen, a son of God. I don't have to be called a saint. People call people saints. Well, God bless them for that. But God said there's no partiality, amen? So if we give somebody a title, I don't think God is really impressed with that, do we? Because he already told me there's no partiality, but he did tell me one thing. We are sons of children of God. Amen. You should be like cheering and going crazy because these are your promises. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs. So these things we're believing for, I really think we need to start fighting for. We just need to stand up and really give it our all to tell, you know, just tell people about God. How can I get an amen?
Amen.
We must be leaders. The teachers never tire, never give up. It is our time with Jesus. Amen. And I just want to tell you again, next week I'm going to put you in the book of Exodus. I'm going to put you there, the Old Testament. It was written by who? Moses, amen? And it's a story about who? Moses. So when we read Exodus, we're reading firsthand, amen? He wrote this book for who? For us. And as I put you in that book with Moses, and I want you to see how many times he could have said no, how many times he could have said I was wrong, how many times he could have doubted, how many times people complained he could have given up, how many times people went to him angry and he could have given up, but did he ever give up? And understand something. In fact, I'll close with this, and this is in the book of Acts. I don't know if he got to it yet. No, I'm sorry, it's in the book of Hebrews. That's not coffee either. Don't be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11:23. By faith. By how? Moses. Who? When he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. The king was killing all the male children. Amen. Any child born to the Hebrews that was male, the king was killing them. Amen. But Moses was hidden. Amen. Was hidden. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Amen. By faith, he forsook Egypt and fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he was destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Understand when we read Moses, and I don't know anybody here who's been put in this position, but he had everything, amen? Moses had everything. He had riches, all the riches he wanted. He went to the best schools, he got the best food, he had sat in the best place. He was going to be a ruler, amen? He had everything there was to have, and what did he do? He gave it up for who? For God, amen? And he turned to God, and he let God, and we need to be Moses. I want to see more Moses here, because he had more reasons than any of us to quit, amen? And he never quit one time, amen? He did argue, and that's why I'm going to put you there next week. I'm going to put you there because Moses argued with God, amen? Imagine that. Anybody here ever argue with God? He argued with God, so, and he fought with God, and God won, Pat, amen? And then when he set those people free, wait till I put you there because I want you to read it next week. He led these people free, and all they did all along the way was complain. Amen. I mean, he must have said to himself, was I crazy? I left all that. I left everything for this. And then all these things coming against him, he could have said, I give up. Amen. But did he give up? No, because he believed God. Amen. And we're not going to give up. There's nothing to give up anyway. I think this is one of the most beautiful churches. The love and the compassion in here has made me feel so proud and so humble at the same time. Amen. But I'm going to put you in Exodus. You got to call people. Say, you want to be in the Bible? Come next week. I'm going to put you in Exodus next week. Give them praise, church. Hallelujah. That's the message here.